I really just want to talk about computers. But apparently I'm not going to be able to do that. Because I thought, okay, so we're going to talk about computers. So this would be a good episode for me to talk briefly about Dark Knight series, which I'm reading the third book right now. And then I realized that talking about that would send me into another tirade about how women come into men's spaces and take over.
On the border of your waking mind, there lies another time. Where darkness and light are one. And as you tread the halls of sanity, you feel so glad to be unable to go beyond. I have a message from another time.
And here's the message. The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller from back in... When the hell was this published? So I have it right here in front of me. Let's find out. Smart person would have looked at this before starting the podcast. 1986. The Dark Knight Returns, 1986. One of the best comic books ever. Sorry, graphic novel. For ritzy people. If you have not read this, I don't care if you don't like comic books. If you have not read The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller, you should. The other one, of course, is The Watchmen. And I don't want to hear about how you saw the movie, because the movie sucked. The Watchmen, the graphic novel, is fucking brilliant. Those two graphic novels, comic books, books, whatever you want to call them, should be read by everybody. The Dark Knight Returns is about Batman. Superman makes an appearance. Batman takes on a new Robin who happens to be a young girl. That's fine. It's great. It's all brilliant. Move forward. They wrote, Frank Miller did, what was it called? I don't have it, this one in front of me. He did a second book called The Dark Knight. I swear it's The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight something. The Dark Knight Strikes Again. That was what it was called. The Dark Knight Strikes Again. And then they did a third book, Batman the Dark Knight Master Race. Let's get a little Nazi overtones in there, shall we? Because, you know, these books wouldn't have any kind of feminist agenda or anything, would they? But only if you're Jesus. Global warming. That would be global warming also. Global warming? That would be because of fracking. I really just want to talk about computers. Why do I have to talk about feminist agendas in comic books?
Let the new
Love You More by Sunscream off the album O2. And I'm drinking hot tea. No booze all day long today. Today is still January the 1st, year of our Lord and Savior, Trump and Fiora 2018. I just want to talk about computers, but we can't. And this is the point. There's nothing I can talk about. I want to talk about computers. Computers are geeky. There you go again. Talked about it in the last episode, or maybe the previous one, right? Remember when sports was a place where you could go and there weren't any women there because it was just boys drinking beer and belching and shit like that? No. Then the women had to move in. Remember when you could have geek culture, whatever in the fuck that even is? Remember you could read comic books? Comic books were for boys. Remember computer games were for boys? Remember when the Boy Scouts were for boys? Remember when men and boys had places they could go and just be men and boys without having to change their fucking behavior to make women happy? Remember those days, you young people? You don't. You have no idea that this ever fucking existed. When you talk about computers, now there's always some chick, "I'm a coder." Because you got the girls who code clubs. Right? Because women can't write computer code if there's a boy in the room. So they have to have all-girl get-togethers to write code. Because they're equal to men, but they can't write computer code if a man is in the room because they'll be oppressed. Okay, so The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller, 1986. Absolutely fucking brilliant, brilliant comic book. You have to read it if you have not read it. Second one came out. Did I ever find out what the fucking title? Instead of listening to the fucking music, I should have been doing research. Dark Knight Strikes Again is the second one, which I read last week. I read The Dark Knight Strikes Again, and it was so fucking incoherent that I can honestly say to you, I have no idea what happened. Here's what I do know. Batman wasn't hardly in it. Now, when I read a Batman comic book, I have this perhaps insane expectation that Batman should be a featured aspect of a Batman comic. Batman barely fucking appeared. And there was a bunch of other shit that happened. And Superman and Wonder Woman had a fucking daughter. And of course she was Super Daughter and all this other stuff. And now I am reading The Master Race. Which, when does this come out? Obviously very recently. 2017. This year. Well, last year now. Because of course, The Dark Knight Returns has Ronald Reagan in it and pokes at him a little bit and does a very good job at it. And this one has Donald Trump in it and pokes at him and doesn't do as good of a job because there's a line, and I'm not saying you can't cross it. I'm saying, though, that when you cross it, artistic merit goes down. And this is what it all boils down to. If you put the art first and you let the social commentary flow from the art, it works. If you put the social commentary first and try to get art from it, much like trying to get blood from a turnip, it doesn't work. The Master Race is pretty fucking terrible. And of course, it's more about Wonder Woman and the Batman's female sidekick, Carrie, the new Robin, and Wonder Woman and Superman's daughter. So again, Batman and Superman are marginalized in favor of the women's. if the art was any good and if the story was any good, at least the story in this is slightly more coherent. I mean, I can sort of understand what's going on. Like this book, here's the summary so far. If you're into the lore, you know that Brainiac has the one Krypton city, which is miniaturized and on his ship. And I'm making the long story short, a bunch of religious fanatics from the miniature Krypton city who want to take over the planet Earth have got brought up to normal size and are now terrorizing everybody on the planet Earth and trying to take over. And Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman are trying to stop them. But Superman and Wonder Woman's daughter is on their side right now. And so it's a big slugfest. And that's what's going on. So at least it's coherent. I'm not kidding you guys. The Dark Knight Strikes Back. I read it a week ago. I have no idea what that book was about. No, great one. Tell me any single plot element of that book. I got nothing. There was like bad people, and they had Flash inside a turbine, like a hamster in a hamster wheel, running to generate electricity, and they broke him out. That's all I got. I don't even know what that book was about. That's how poorly written it was. Because it needed to be about agendas instead of about art. When you start with a political agenda and you try to get art from it, you're gonna fucking fail. That's why theater is dying. And why? Why does a comic book about Batman have to be filled with all these women's? Oh, that's right. Because women's can't create their own fucking comic books. If I wanted to read a comic book in which Wonder Woman was in 70% of the fucking book, I would read a goddamn Wonder Woman comic book. Why does everything have to be co-opted by the women's? All right, we're going to fucking talk about computers now. God damn it, I'm tired of bitching. Among the hilarious things in the world of computers, and this is the continuation of the technology rant, although I'm not sure how much ranting it's really going to be as opposed to me just talking about shit that annoys me. There's this thing, academia.com, which is hilarious. They keep sending me notifications, and I'm going to put screenshots in, that my name is being mentioned in academic papers. And so I'm like, all right, let me click on this and go, yes, you can find out where your name is being mentioned. You just have to purchase membership. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then down at the bottom, it's our mission statement is to put all the research papers on the internet, or all the research papers in academia on the internet and make them free for access. Oh, so you're going to put all these papers on the internet and make them free for access, but you want me to pay to find out what I'm being cited in. And it says, well, you'll see the fucking screenshots. Where is it? Where's the fucking... Yeah, too many folders open here. There it is. 263 people recently read one of the papers that mentions the name the Great One himself. A total of 510 papers on academia mention your name. Okay, much as with this individual who said that me mentioning her book resulted in renewed interest in her book, just as that's not very likely, it's not very likely that there are 500 academic papers on some website that mention my name. And the sort of pathetic attention whoring of these websites, right? And we have technology now. We have the internet. We can send information around the globe. And what's it being used for other than Snapchat and selfies and Lauren Southern and the other trad twats, whatever the fuck. Attention whoring on YouTube. We're not talking about that. Stop it. Stop. What are we using this technology for? We're using this to spam people with bullshit like 263 people read a paper that mentions your name. Give us money and we'll tell you about it. This is what we're doing with the fucking technology that... No, stop. That men primarily invented and that women are now co-opting for the purpose of attention whoring on YouTube. Stop. 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 You're not talking about that. Stop it. All right. See what I'm saying? Everything, every fucking topic that comes up can just swerve right back to this same thing about how men built it and women are showing up and fucking remaking it to serve their attention whoring purposes. Pretty much any fucking topic in existence can go right back to that point. Here's a Batman comic book. It's mostly about Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman's daughter, but, you know, it says Batman on the cover. All right, I did a podcast a while back about backing up where I talked about I answered some questions from... Oh, shit, I gotta find... Is that... Nope, that's not it. Answered some questions about my philosophy on data backups. One thing I wanted to add to that I did not say. I really, 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 really want to find this comment. Okay. I need to open the Twitterverse. Hang on. Because I didn't say this about the backups. In a perfect world, your backups should also be on an external hard drive that is not always plugged into your computer. It's like my main production computer. I have like 5 hard drives in the fucking thing. So there's a lot going on. But all of my backups are on external drives. And that is an important part of the whole backing up concept. And here's why. If your computer, again, I'm always thinking what's worst case scenario. This is why your backup should not just be external, but your backup should be offsite in case your house burns down, right? Worst case scenario, you get hit with... Oh, that's interesting. Hang on. What was I going to talk about? Snake and Sheave, Grub. Oh, okay. Where the hell did it go? See, this is the kind of shit I'm supposed to do before I start podcasting. Found it. Your backup should be on external drives because another worst case scenario is your computer gets infected with ransomware. Now, I've never seen ransomware up close, but my understanding is that it encrypts your hard drive. Okay, so if you have multiple hard drives in your computer, it's probably going to encrypt all of them. And let's say in my case, I have Windows hard drives, and I also have Linux hard drives. Well, if the ransomware gets in my Windows system, I don't think, and I don't know, if I'm wrong, somebody tell me. I would assume that the ransomware doesn't really care what kind of file system is on a hard drive. I don't see how that would be relevant. The ransomware, I mean, at least if I were designing it, it would just locate a hard drive, and it doesn't have to read the information on the hard drive, it just has to encrypt it. So, like, if my computer got hit with ransomware, all 5 hard drives would get encrypted and all of that information would be lost. So if you have your backup hard drive actually just in the computer, and I bring this up because on a couple of my computers, my computer at work and then my alpha box that I use for testing, the backup hard drive is actually in the computer because I just back up every so often and it's internal and I don't want to have to deal with plugging in an external. And also neither of these computers are all that critical. If one of them got ransomware on it or something like that, it's not the fucking end of the world. So because of the ransomware possibility, your backup hard drive, and this is another flaw in my opinion, potential flaw, I guess that there's no perfect backup strategy. Everything has some kind of, I don't say every flaw, but everything has a weakness, right? Any strategy you come up with has some kind of weakness in it someplace. If you've got the automated backup where, say, you have a disk server sitting over there, and your computer is hooked to the disk server, and then it does automatically back up for you every now and then. Well, those hard drives are attached to your computer. So if the ransomware hits your computer, I would assume, I don't know why it wouldn't, that it's going to find those hard drives as well as your internal hard drives, and it's going to encrypt them, and then all of your shit is gone. So that's why I think the best backing up strategy is you drop in a hard drive, you back up to it, and you pull that hard drive out. It's not attached to a computer. But apparently, I have a number of people, given the emails that I've gotten since I started talking about Linux, apparently there are a number of people who listen to me who know a lot about computers, which is great. I'm just, you know, anytime you guys want to educate me on computers, because I know Linux, but I don't claim to be a fucking expert. Anytime you guys want to throw educational shit in my direction, I am always willing to check it out. Told you, Anonymous sent me the link to Solus, what the fuck is it called? The other Linux distro, I'm going to check that out and take a look at it. Solus, yeah, Solus Project. Actually, I should... Let me... I'm grabbing that right now. I'm going to drop it into the show notes, so that if you guys want to also check that out, you can. Except that doesn't work like that, because I'm a dumbass. Let me try that again. Bam. Okay. I also want to bitch about the MP3 player situation. I got an MP3 player to check out, to try. And the manual, I still haven't read the manual because the manual is huge. The MP3 player itself looks incredibly simple, but I want to read the manual before I do anything with it. I'll let you know how that goes. This is what I forgot to complain about when I was bitching about the MP3 player fiasco the first time around. Because after the first fiasco where I got the MP3 players and the user interface was shitty and all this other stuff, I thought, okay, so next time I buy an MP3 player on the Amazon.com, I'm going to do some research. I'm going to go to like the YouTube and look for information about the user interface. Surely, someone bought this MP3 player and they made a YouTube video where they show you like what it looks like when you're scrolling through the list of songs or whatever, right? Makes total sense. Everything else is on YouTube. How to rebuild a carburetor, how to bind a book, how to grow a garden, I mean, how to build a fire, how to repair a turntable, right? Everything is on YouTube. This has got to be on YouTube. How to change the battery in your iPod, because I've changed the battery in an iPod. How to change out the hard drive in an iPod. I've learned that on YouTube. I've done that. So I thought there's got to be YouTube videos for these MP3 players that I'm seeing on Amazon.com that show you what the user interface looks like and how it works. Well, the answer to that would be, fuck no, there isn't. I'm just like, well, this is the most important aspect of the MP3 player, is the user interface. On Amazon, there's no information about that. You would think you could go to the manufacturer's website, and maybe they'd have a video that shows you, hey, this is what our user interface looks like. No, I looked at multiple MP3 players. No information could be found on the fucking manufacturer website, by Googling, on the YouTube searching. No information on what the fucking user interface looks like. Cynic in Chief, because I mentioned Grub. Ah, damn it, I just fucking clicked on it. Now I gotta find it again. Blah, blah, blah. Cynic in Chief and me, we was talking over on the Twitterverse. And so we were talking about the Mint Linux, because I talked about how Mint doesn't give you a root password and you do everything with sudo. Cynic in Chief had responded to this commentary, and what he said was, sudo with a locked root account has been standard for a while. To which my response is, just because it's standard doesn't mean it's a good idea. But hey, you know, again, this is just my opinion. I think the whole no root user thing is stupid. In multi-user scenarios, it provides more accountability. Sudo logs who used it when, and you can control what actions are allowed. All of that may be true. And in fact, all of that probably is true, because from our conversation, I can see that Seneca Chief knows something about computers. So all of that is most likely true. But here's the thing. Here's my opinion. I'm the great one. I got an opinion. Look out. If you actually know something about Linux, this might be true. But once again, if you're a fucking noob, how do you know? How do you even know what sudo is? You install this shit, and this thing pops up, says type in your password. If you don't know anything about Linux, you really have no concept what's even happening. Much less that there are things like logging, and that you can control what actions are allowed and all this other stuff. Right? If you're a noob, you don't have this information. This goes back to, and this is possibly too because I'm an anarcho-capitalist who's a big fan of natural selection. This is why I am all about having a root account and having the power and then fucking learning how it works. And that's how you learn how not to fuck up. Once again, when you got the computer system protecting you from your own, it's kind of like when you're talking about computers, stop it. It's kind of like, you know, when the government protects you from the mistakes of making children when you're not a married woman and you don't have any money. You don't learn to stop making babies. Great. Stop it. Great one. You're talking about computers. Seneca in Chief also goes on to say, there are numerous unfixed bugs in the Grub2 boot process, especially when you're trying to do more advanced things, i.e. encrypted root using systemd. The boot process is complicated and error-prone, so working on it is difficult for all but the most advanced devs. And so I was a little happy to see that I'm not the only one who thinks that Grub2 is an overly complicated piece of shit. And then, this is a good one too. Seneca Chief says, software has always sucks. It sucks even more nowadays because it's partially staffed with autists who don't know how normies use it, H-1B visas who copy and paste code from the internet, and degree-only graduates who have no experience in the real world. And I can read all these. These are out in the open. If you go look at my Twitter feed, you can find all of this. I don't read anybody's private messages. Right? So if you PM me on the Twitterverse, I'm not going to read it on the podcast. Unless I just have a fucking giant brain cramp and I do something stupid. In which case, you can fucking call me out for doing something I said I wasn't going to do and make fun of me on the internet because I deserve it, because that's how natural selection works. If you fuck up, you pay the price for it. So anyhow, Seneca Chief seems to know something about computers, and so that was cool. We had an interesting little conversation there. Did a little bitching on both parts. So yeah, Grub2. And then I've also discovered from some of the people who have messaged me that systemd is also not very popular. I'm not the only one who thinks systemd is a piece of shit. All right. Speaking of smart people, if you want to find smart people in the world of the interwebs, where the fuck is my thing? I gotta see where I am on time. There we go. Smart people in the world of the interwebs. You can find those over on the Gentoo mailing list. Gentoo Linux. Oh, and I'll put the link in the show notes here about the guy who, did I get it already or did I fuck up? Probably fucked up. There it is. There's the article about a man was hospitalized and his family left distraught in the aftermath of a grueling install of the Gentoo Linux operating system. The 32-year-old man was admitted on Thursday and is currently in a stable but serious condition after he reportedly lost the will to live. Sources say the man, a local of Sydney, started installing Gentoo late Monday evening on his main computer and that it was his first serious attempt at installing the operating system, which is known to be very hands-on and time-consuming. It goes on. You can go read it, etc. But it's true. I just recently, because I updated, I think I told you guys this, I updated from the I think it was 13.0 profile to the 17.0 profile, and I had to rebuild my entire world. I had to recompile all the software on the computer. It took close to 48 hours of compiling. Yeah, Gentoo will kick your ass if you don't know what you're doing. But, like natural selection, you have to learn. And that's why, if you want to learn shit about computers, you don't even have to have Gentoo. You just want to learn shit about computers, go sign up on the Gentoo email mailing list. I don't ask a lot of questions there, but I go in and I read a lot of the things that happen, although right now I'm way behind because December kicked my ass. I have like 6,000 messages to go through. And there's a fair amount of off-topic discussion, so it's not just people talking about Gentoo specifically and trying to solve problems and things like that. There's a lot of really smart motherfuckers on that list who know shit about computers, and you can learn some stuff. You can definitely learn some stuff. iPhones. Oh, you iPhone users. Here's another iPhone story for you. So over at Weyland-Yutani, Dallas has an iPhone. And Dallas recently upgraded to whatever the latest software was. And in the process of updating his iPhone software on his iPhone, and this is another reason why the Great One is not into this shit where you put everything on your cell phone. Because I put anything on my cell phone. Good for you. The Great One doesn't do that. The Great One writes shit on a piece of paper. Or if I put in a computer file, I have backups and multiple copies. Oh, backing up. There's a concept we don't do with our fucking cell phone, right? Backing things up? No, of course not. Which is odd, because I thought Apple backed your shit up for you. Apparently it doesn't, or he didn't know how to do it. He didn't have enough sense to do it. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it was some natural selection going on here. Maybe there was some learning experience. Not that he doesn't really learn sometimes, but it was an opportunity for learning experience. So Dallas had, notice I used the word past tense, had on his iPhone something like 7 years worth of notes from just various gigs we did and contact, all this other, just notes. He had this little software program on there that he kept all of his important notes in. Notice I said kept. Past tense. He did the upgrade. It wiped out all of his notes. Everything gone. And that, my friends, is number one, why you don't put important shit on your cell phone. Number two, you don't use an Apple device. Number three, you back up your fucking files. But the Great One doesn't mind if you learn the hard way. Does not bother the Great One at all. The Great One found it amusing. The Great One had to try hard not to laugh. Speaking of laughing at people who use Apple products, saw this linkaged, this is new words I'm making up, because I can do that. I am a man. I create things. I don't just consume them. Stop. Great One. Stop it. We're talking about computers, not girls. Stop it. Deep breath. Saw this linked over on captaincapitalism.blogspot.com about why Apple is slowing down the older phones. So apparently the new software makes your phone run slower because the battery can't keep up with the processor and all this other stuff. And you know, I mean, on one hand, it's kind of like, well, I mean, from a technological sense, it kind of makes sense that if your battery doesn't have enough power to keep up. Where is exactly? The aging battery means that your phone could have trouble operating or might unexpectedly shut down, as happened to the iPhone 6 and 6S last year. The processors in these devices wanted to hit faster speeds, but the batteries couldn't handle the demand, prompting the phones to simply switch themselves off. Okay, so they've introduced a software fix to deal with the fact that the battery, as it becomes older, cannot keep up with the power demands of the iPhone. That's not necessarily annoying. The annoying part is this right here. You may be wondering why we can't simply get better batteries. Why can't we just get better batteries? Why don't we? I don't know. I mean, what if Apple is such a great fucking company, why don't they replace your fucking battery for you? So do consumer electronics companies, which have thrown millions of dollars at the problem with very little to show for it. An advanced battery startup in California, Envia Systems, a few years ago did some research and found that it took more than a decade, from 1995 to 2007, to double the energy stored in a battery. And since then, it hasn't even risen by 30%. Now you see, this is important because the left-wing statist alternative energy, which is funny, alternative is a bad thing when it comes to news, but alternative is a good thing when it comes to energy. The fascist alternative energy idiots think that we're going to replace coal burning and natural gas burning and nuclear power plants with solar power and windmills and run everything from batteries. Okay, so we can't get a battery that can handle the processor on an iPhone after it's a couple of years old. But you're going to run, what, New York City off of batteries? You really think that's doable? And no, you're not going to get more and more storage out of it. I know you probably heard some shit on the internet about how Elon Musk and his Tesla company are doing all these amazing things. Well, not really. I'm not buying it. You can only get so much out of a fucking battery. Blah, blah, blah. Many people call for Apple to notify users when it started throttling their phone's performance, as well as give them a setting to decide whether to allow that slowdown or not. Ben Bajar, an analyst with Creative Strategies, said Apple should give users the option. Here's the thing. Apple does not have to give its users an option. You know why? Because Apple users are so fucking stupid that Apple could shit in their face and they will still buy Apple products. This is the one advantage Apple has, is that its customer base is so fucking dumb and so fucking brain. I mean, this is why Apple, is it still true that Apple has more money than any other company or country or organization on the planet Earth? I mean, this is why. Because their customer base is so fucking brain dead and so fucking obsessed with showing everyone how original they are by getting piercings and tattoos and dyeing their hair purple and then buying a MacBook, that Apple could do any fucking thing it wants. Apple can shit all over you, and you're going to keep buying Apple products. I know it. You know it. We alls know it. Speaking of batteries, speaking of why technology pisses me off, so I got this flashlight. It's this super duper flashlight. It's great. It's a fantastic flashlight. It has some kind of special high-speed rechargeable battery in it. Like, okay, great. So I get the rechargeable battery with, I get the charger for the batteries. Okay, so I'm looking at the instruction manual for the charger, and it's like, holy shit. And you have to program the battery charger. And I'm reading it and trying to figure this shit out. We got to program it for, you got this kind of battery and this kind of battery. And then you got these many amps and this many amps, this many amps. And I'm looking at this shit going, what the fuck? And to program it, you got to push these little buttons and the little LEDs come on and you've got to decipher the archaicness of the LEDs. It can't just have like a little LED readout that says this battery, that battery. What? No, no. It's this archaic little fucking LEDs lighting up and you got to compare the LEDs that are lit up to the little fucking chart. And then come to find out that when you unplug the charger and plug it back in, it doesn't retain whatever the fuck you set it for. So if you unplug it, you have to reprogram it again. My question is to those of you who design technology and build this shit, why do you have to do this? Why can't you just make a fucking battery charger that charges the fucking batteries that the battery charger is sold with? Why do I have to program a fucking battery charger? Why does this have to be so goddamn complicated? Speaking of complicated, does anyone remember when you could go to Google Maps, look up an address, and then hit Control P and print, and it would print the map that you were looking at on the screen on the piece of paper? Like, the piece of paper would be the map, the big map. It would be like a big map, full-size piece of paper. You could actually use it. Does anyone remember that, or just me? Because I know I'm old. I'm way fucking older. Fucking ancient. I'm drooling on myself right now. Get the fuck off my lawn. Now, when you go to Google Maps and you try to fucking print something, Jesus Christ. The last time I did this, I get all these fucking directions over here. I get this shit at the top. The map itself is this little bitty fucking square, which is like 1/8 the fucking space of the piece of paper. Why does technology have to go backwards? That's what I'm asking. Why does everything have to become more backwards ass, more complicated, less useful? I don't need to print all the bullshit. I want to print the fucking map. I can't do that, can I, Google? Oh, fuck no, we cannot have that. IPv4 and IPv6. I don't particularly understand exactly what's going on. The IP addresses, there's version 4, now there's version 6, which apparently has more options than version 4. Which, we're coming to the point, there's a point, here's the point. So it's like, well, why do we need to do this? Well, we're running out of IP addresses, is what I have heard. I personally haven't counted all the IP addresses. But we're running out of IP addresses, so we have to create more. For those of you out there who are not total losers and don't really know what the fucking IP address is, well, congratulations on not being a loser, right? So the IP address of like a website, or if you've got a wireless webcam or something, has an IP address. So it's like 123.77.431.694, right? So every device out there that's on the internet has an IP address, and they all have to be different. Thus, hence, you can understand why we would eventually run out of IP addresses. Because, of course, we now live in an age where every fucking device in existence has to have a fucking IP address. Oh, your refrigerator connects to the fucking internet. Oh, all those little devices you have in your house that fucking spy on you by sending everything you say back to Amazon.com or Google or whatever. It's got to have an IP address. Everything needs to have an IP address, at least as far as I know. I'm not an expert on this shit, but we're running out of IP addresses. Well, maybe if we stop connecting refrigerators to the fucking internet. And how about this? What about when somebody got ransomware? Can you imagine the first person who figures out how to fucking infiltrate the processors on people's refrigerators and either turn them off or turn them down so they freeze? I would turn it off. I'd spoil the food. That's what I do. But I mean, goddamn, why does a refrigerator need to be attached to the internet? It's like the stupid people are begging to have bad things happen to them. Well, my refrigerator's connected to the internet. That it's like bending over and spreading your butt cheeks and say and handing somebody a dildo before you do it and saying, please stick the dildo in me. Once again, for those of you out there who listen, you are computer literate and you are smarter than I am. If you can explain to me why in the fuck a refrigerator needs internet access, I would love you to fucking explain this to me. Well, it's gotta update the firmware. Why the fuck does a computer need firmware? Well, it has a computer processor in it to make it more efficient. How did we as a society survive all those years that refrigerators and cars didn't have computers in them? Good God, how in the fuck did we ever make it? Amazon still sucks. Amazon still hasn't implemented what the fuck I told them, where when I'm logged on, when I'm on a page with something, I should be able to click a goddamn button, get an affiliate link code just like that without having to go through all the bullshit. You know what else Amazon is fucking up that should be really simple? If you go on the Amazon.com and you have multiple wish list is that a phrase? If you have more than one wish list, when you're looking at a product, like a little Supergirl figurine that I could buy if you motherfuckers would spend money via my Amazon affiliate account, and then I would buy it over at Aaron Cleary's Amazon affiliate account, and then he could buy his girlfriend a nice shot of whiskey. But no, you guys hate women. I understand. You're a bunch of fucking Nazis. Fucking women-hating Nazis. Let's say that I'm on a page looking at a Supergirl figurine, and I want to make an Amazon affiliate link for it. I can't do that. I want to put it on my wish list. I have more than one wish list. So over there, it's got the button where you can add things to your wish list. And it's got the little arrows over there where you click on the arrows, and it displays a list of your multiple wish list. And then you click on the wish list you want to add it to. At least that's the theory. But no, when I'm on the Amazon of the .com and I click on the fucking little arrow thingy to get the list, it doesn't give me the fucking list. It just fucking adds shit to the fucking top wish list instead of working right. So we, the royal we, the people who design and build and work on technology, right? We got time to invent Grub 2, which is overly fucking complicated and, according to people who know more than me, filled with bugs and is a giant piece of shit, and you got to do the OS probe and all this other shit because it doesn't fucking work right. And we got time to put fucking computer processors in refrigerators because that's really important that your refrigerator have internet access. But what we don't have time to do over at Amazon.com, where we got all this fucking money coming in, although I heard that Amazon.com doesn't make a profit, which is possible. I don't fucking know. It doesn't actually matter. I'm spending money over there. People are spending money over there. They got money coming in. Could they fix the fucking code on their website? Instead of putting in another goddamn microprocessor into a fucking refrigerator, could we get Amazon.com to fix their fucking code? Or am I just being selfish here? I'm probably a Nazi. I would say that's what's going on. Because, of course, we know that everyone is a fucking Nazi. Which brings me to censorship. Here's something I thought of the other day, because I talked about in the backing up thing, what happens if your website gets taken offline. This was in the website hosting part, right? Here's another thing that I think is going to be the future of censorship, is there's the software out there like Bitdefender and AVG and other antivirus programs, and you install them, and they put in the extension software, whatever specifically it is, that when you're on the internet, it protects you from going to sites that have been hacked or sites that have been reported as malicious and all this other sort of stuff, which is a good thing when it's actually doing that. But what occurred to me is that this software, because of course these software companies are all left-wing statist, they're all going to have to virtue signal. They're all going to be taken over by social justice warriors and soy boys eventually. I predict, this is a prediction, making a predict. I should write this down, prediction. Prediction. I haven't made a prediction in a while. Here's my prediction. There will come a point where your antivirus software in your web browser that is supposedly protecting you from visiting malicious or infected websites will also become a censorship tool, in the sense that websites will be added to the list of blocked websites, not because they're actually malicious or infected, but because of the ideology of the people running the website. If you go to Age of Shit, because for Age of Shitlords, because I link on Cynical Libertarian Society to Age of Shitlords, I got bombarded with these messages from the security program I use in WordPress telling me that I was linking to a site that is infected with malicious software. And that site was Age of Shitlords. Now, is Age of Shitlords, has it really been infected, which is possible, or is this so-called infection merely a manifestation of ideological disagreements with somebody somewhere and the people at Age of Shitlords? And this makes total sense as a tool that can be used for censorship, Because once people see, right, it comes up, oh, this site is infected, most people are going to run away from that. They're going to assume that, yes, it really is infected.